Today's shir is Masecht B'Metzia Daf Lamed Zayin, and we will begin on Daf Lamed Vav Amid Beis, three lines from the bottom. Amr Rabbi Yosef, Ketzer Halo Oisus Charaso Parasu Shel Chaveri. We learned in the Mishnah the Machlokes between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yosi in a situation where someone rented an animal, and then the animal that he rented, he lent to someone else, and that animal died while it was by the shoyl. A soicher, as we explained, is potter for einsim, a shoyl is chayev for einsim, and therefore the opinion of the Tanakama was that the soicher should make a shvua that he did not do anything wrong, and then the shoyl will pay the soicher, who doesn't really own the animal, for the animal. Rabbi Yossi disagreed. Rabbi Yossi said that it's difficult to understand how I, who am only the renter of the animal, should be able to benefit the entire value of the animal because I lent it to someone else. How could I benefit from that animal? Amr Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul. Halachic Rabbi Yossi. The halacha follows the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. Amle Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda Rabbi Yehuda. Amr Ad Lam Shmei de Shmuel. You told us in the name of Shmuel that Cholak Hayu Rabbi Yossi Af Berushayna. That Rabbi Yossi also disagrees with the din that we learned in the first mission of our parak, where we learned that the halacha is that if while something was at a Shomer's home, the animal while was at the Shomer's home died, or Shem Echinam, or Shem Sachar, or different situations, the Shem Echinam, instead of entering into a dentira with the owner of the animal, paid. So we learned, the Mishnah teaches us, that entitles him to the kefil. And the Mishnah said, since he was willing to pay, he becomes entitled to the kefil. So the Gemara's question now is that din that we learned in that Mishnah also a subject of machloikis? So he says that just like Rabbi Yossi disagrees with the din that we learned in the Mishnah that we just described at the beginning of our shir, so too does Rabbi Yossi disagree on that din. And now the question is, halacha kamaisai and halacha kamaisai. Do we follow the opinion? Whose opinion do we follow? So Amalei, he responded to him, cholik hayu Rabbi Yossi af b'rishayna. Rabbi Yossi disagrees with the rule of the Rabbanon in the first Mishnah also. And that's the way we paskin like Rabbi Yossi, that even if the Shomer pays, that doesn't entitle him to the kefil. Itmanami, Amr Belazar, Cholokai Rabbi Yossi Aparishayna. Rabbi Yossi disagrees even in the first din. Valoch Kamaisa Aparishayna, and that is the halacha. Rabbi Yochanan, however, says, Maidah Rabbi Yossi Rishayna, in the first din of our perek, that case, Rabbi Yossi agrees with the Chachamim, because Shekvar Shilem. Since the Shomer already paid, that entitles him to the kefil. Ask the Gemara, we're learning now, Shilemin, that since the Shomer paid, that's what entitles him to the kefir, which would seem to indicate, Loi Shilem Loi, that if he didn't pay, he just agreed to pay, he would not be entitled to the kefil. Ask the Gemara, V'amar Abchi bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan, wasn't it Rabbi Yochanan's very opinion that Loi Shilem Shilem Mamish, we don't really need that the Shomer should actually have to pay? Elo, Kimin Shama Reini Mishalem, as soon as he agreed and committed to pay, Abish Loi Shilem, even though he didn't pay, he already is entitled to the kefil. So here we have a contradiction in Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. Does Rabbi Yochanan require the Shomer to actually pay to become entitled to the kefil, or is it adequate that he should commit to pay? Answers the Gemara, Ema, we have to revise what Rabbi Yochanan says. Maidahai Rabbi Yossi Bishayna. Rabbi Yossi agrees to the din that we learned in the first Mishnah. Shekvar Omar Reini Mishalem. As soon as the Shomer agreed to pay, he becomes entitled to the kefil. Not like in this din, where if the second Mishnah, where if he lent the animal that he had rented, leased, that he would not be entitled if the animal dies to the payment of the animal. Says the Mishnah, Amar l'shnayim, if somebody, if a ganef, told two people, Gazati lechem mechem mona, I stole from one of you a mona, v'eni dei meiz mechem. However, I don't know which of these two individuals is the individual I stole the mona from. Oi, avish lechem mechem hifke et li mona, one of the fathers of one of you deposited a mona with me, v'eni dei ezhu. I don't recall who is that individual that left the mona as a deposit by me. So the Mishnah paskins in this situation, noisim l'zeh mona l'zeh mona. He has to give each one of the individuals a mona. Shahid him if he atzmai, for he has admitted that he owes the money, and he's just not sure who is that individual. Continues the Mishnah, shnayim shefkidu etzlecha. But if two individuals left deposits with one shomer, zeh mona, one individual left the mona, the Messiah, and the other one left the Messiah, and now when they're coming to collect what's due to them, Zeh Mishalim Messiah, this one says that the Messiah was mine, the Zeh Mishalim Messiah, and the other one says the Messiah was mine, is the Alocha Noisim Lazemana, Lazemana, each one collects a mana, Vashayim Munachat Shiav Elio, and the rest should be wait by the Shomer until Elio comes and tells us who is the honest individual. As we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, even though at the beginning of the Masechta we learned Aloch is Shnaim Shaykhs Metalis, if two people are holding a talis and there's a debate who is the owner of the talis, we learned Aloch is Yachloiku, they should divide the talis. So the question is, why here is the Halacha not that Yachloiku? So we learned two explanations. One is that here there certainly is Ramoy, there certainly is someone that's lying, and therefore we don't say Yachloiku. Another explanation that we gave, that was given, was that in the first Mishnah of the Masechta, where two people are holding a talis, it is possible that both of these individuals seized the talis at the exact same moment. And since they seized it at the exact same moment, they are indeed both the owners of the talis, the Yachloiku, and it should be divided amongst the two of them. Here, however, in our case, Yachloiku is certainly not an option. And therefore, since it's certainly not what is possibly to be true, we don't follow the concept of Yachloiku. We also have discussed, Vashar Yemunach HaTshav Elio, that we wait until Elio comes, and then when Elio comes, the way most Mefarshim explain, the truth, the world will be a world of truth, and the truth will come out. Not to say, explain the Mefarshim, that Elio HaNavi on his own is the person that could paskin who is the true owner, because we don't follow one person, even if he is as great as Elio HaNavi. Rather, because when Elio HaNavi comes, the world will be a more honest world. And as I saw the Mefarshim explain, the Mishnah says at the end of Masechta El Idyos, Ein Elio Bo, Elio will not come L'tamei L'tahar, to say this is Tamei, this is Tahar, L'rachek or L'karev, L'rachek HaMukurovim B'zroya, L'karev HaMurchokim B'zroya. So we look at that Mishnah, it's somewhat of a difficult Mishnah to understand. First the Mishnah says that Elio is not coming L'karev or L'rachek. And then it says Elio is going to come L'rachek HaMukurovim U'L'karev HaMuruchakim. So how do we understand the Mishnah? So explain the Mefarshim, we know that the difference between the word Emes and the word Sheker is that the word Emes, Aleph is the first letter of the Alabase, Mem is the middle letter, and Sof is the last letter. Sheker are all made up of letters, Kuf, Resh, Shin, are all letters that are right next to each other. And that's what Chazal means to say. Elio will not come to say, this is the truth, this is what happened. Because as we just said a moment ago, Elio can't do that. And Eid Echod is not Nemen. Rather, what Elio is going to do is, L'rachei kamukurovin, the word Sheker, which is made out of letters which are close to each other, Eliyahu Hanavi is going to separate those letters. Because what will he do? He will mekariv hamruchakim. He will make a world of where there is a word, emes, which is made up of letters that are very separated from each other. He will make a world where, in this world, we have, unfortunately, the word made out of letters that are near each other prevailing. And he'll come and make a world where the words, where a word made out of letters are far from each other, the word emes, that world will be the world that Eliyahu is going to try to create, a world of emes. Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi, however, disagrees. He says, Im Kain, Mahifsar Ramoy. If we're going to follow this approach, what does the Ramoy lose? He'll get the $100, the liar will get his. According to Rabbi Yossi, the entire deposit should be left till Eliyahu comes. The Rishonim ask, according to the opinion of the Tanna Kamma, that each one of them says that he is the individual that was left the Messiah, and the other one says, I don't know, and the Shomer says, I don't know, why isn't this considered a situation of Maida B'Miksas that we learned so many times? Halach is that a Maida B'Miksas has to swear midoraisa, and since he can't swear, he'll have to pay. So here, where I'm holding two deposits, one is a $100 bill, one is a $200, and I don't know who was the one that left $100 and who's the one that's left $200, but I am moided that I owe this money, I should be considered a moid of a mixus. So the Rishonim give two different explanations why this is not a situation of moid of a mixus. One explanation they give is a moid of a mixus is a situation where somebody approaches me and says, I owe him $100. And I only admit that I owe 50. So we have a dispute. Is it 100 or is it 50? I'm moider to 50 out of the 100. Here, between the two individuals who left money by me, they're claiming that they left a total of $300 with me. And I'm also admitting that I'm holding $300. We just don't know how to divide up that $300. That's not a situation of Maida B'Miksas. Another explanation I saw why this is not considered a situation of Maida B'Miksas is because, as we've learned so many times, the Gemara quotes this a number of places. Midaraisa, a koifer akol, if somebody completely denies owing any money, he doesn't have to make a shvua. A Maida B'Miksas, however, does have to make a shvua. And the Gemara asks many places, why do we treat a Maida B'Miksas different than a koifer akol? And the answer is because a koifer akol, a Maida B'Miksas rather, really no ain't other maze b'fnei b'chayvay. A person doesn't lie, and a person really recognizes that he owes the whole money. He just doesn't have the money to pay, so he wants to buy time. So how does he buy time? By being Maida B'Miksas. So that's in a situation, explain the Rishonim and Achronim, where it's a question, how much money do I owe you? Here, however, it's a situation of a Shomer, who's not saying anything because he's trying to buy time. So this is not the situation of Maida B'Miksas that the Torah speaks to. Based on what we just said, we could also answer a different question that the Rishonim ask. That why isn't this a situation of Bari V'Shema, where each person is telling me for certain that I am holding $200 of his, and I am a Shema that I don't know who is the person I'm holding $200 and who am I holding $100. So the Rishonim explain, in a situation where somebody approaches me and says to me, I owe him money. And he says for certain that I owe money. And I'm not sure, do I or don't I? So since his claim may be correct, I have the obligation to pay him. However, in our case, the Shomer is certain that he was not given more than a total of $300. And therefore, he's claiming with certainty that he doesn't owe more than a total of $300. So that's why it's considered a situation of Bari Verbari, not Bari V'Shema. Rabbi Yossi, as we learned, however, disagrees and says that this Ramai, will gain by doing this, and therefore the entire money should be left at Shiyov Eliyahu. And the Rishonim debate, what is the point of leaving the entire money? Some Rishonim say it's a knas. Since this person lied, we punish, since there's a person who's lying here, we punish him, Hakol Yimonech at Shiyov Eliyahu. Other Rishonim say the purpose of the knas is to get him to say the truth. The person, says say to Rishonim, according to Rabbi Yossi, says to the Chachamim, he has nothing to lose by saying that he's the one that left the $200. Because his $100 that he left, he'll certainly get back. The question is, will he get back more? So he has no reason to say the truth. So you want to incentivize him to say the truth. And the way we incentivize him to say the truth is by saying that you're not going to get back any money until the truth comes out. However, the Mefarshim say there's another deeper shot to this point that the Rishonim make, that we're trying to incentivize him. Because we know that Halach is that a knas is only given to the person who does an Aveira, not to his children. So the question would be, if this person who, these two people who left something with me, one of them, both of them pass away, so if the knas is because they lied, or one of them lied, so now his child didn't lie, so he doesn't deserve a knas. So maybe Rabbi Yossi would agree that to the children, we should give each $100. But if the point is, as we just explained, we want to get to the truth, so that that desire to get to the truth remains even with the children, and even by the Yorshim, the halacha according to Rabbi Yossi would be Hakel Yemunach at Shiyov Eliyahu. I saw an interesting shaila from Yitzchak Zilberstein. He discusses what would be the halacha in this case, modern question, where we have these two individuals. One is clearly lying. Can we try to get to the truth through a lie detector test? Says Rabbi Zilberstein that he wants to connect it actually to Machloikis Rishonim. He says, what would be the halacha, again, the case of our Mishnah, we have these two individuals, one saying that he left the $100 bill, the other one says that he's the one that left the $200, and one of them has an Eid Echad to support its claim. Will that Eid Echad, who normally in halacha doesn't really have that much strength, have the ability to make that individual prevail? He says it's Machloikis Ran and Ritva. So says Rav Zilberstein, if we hold that an Eid Echad won't be enough, similarly, a lie detector test wouldn't be adequate. But if we hold that an Eid Echad could prove who is saying the truth, maybe a lie detector could also be used. Continues the Mishnah with another case. V'chein shnei keilim. If two keilim were left by a person, echad yof mana, one keli is worth $100, v'echad yof elzos, another one is worth $1,000. Zalim, one person says, Yofishli, I'm the one that left the more expensive keli. V'zalim, Yofishli, and the other one says, I'm the one that left the more expensive keli. Noisen has cotton lechman. So the Chum say that one keli, the less expensive keli, should be given to one of them. Umetaych ha-godl, noisen me cotton l'sheni. So Rashi explains, we take the more expensive keli, we break it, we give the other individual the keli, that value of how much the less expensive keli was worth, and the rest, that's how Rashi learns. However, the Rishonim explain that even Rashi, who says that the way it's done is by breaking the more expensive keli, Rashi will agree, they say, that in a situation where breaking the keli, let's say it's a glass keli, where breaking it makes it completely worthless, Rashi will say we don't break it, we rather sell the more expensive keli, give the value of the cheaper keli to the other individual, v'shayim munachat shavliyo. Other Rishonim disagree with Rashi, and they say that under all circumstances, that's what's done. It makes no difference if it's going to be completely worthless or not. We should just sell the more expensive keli. Rabbi Yossi again disagrees, and he says, "Im kein mahefsed ramoy." By going through such an approach, the deceiver has nothing to lose. We're going to Mitzvah Shem learning the Gemara why we have two cases, why the Mishnah mentions two cases that are similar. But there's another question that I saw that the Mefarshim ask. And this is the way I saw the go. The Divrei Chaim was married a number of times. He never wanted to remain without a wife. And when he was already an older person and he had lost his wife, a shidduch was mentioned with the daughter of the Chedushei Harim. And the Divrei Chaim met the Chedushei Harim. And they entered into a debate. Who should test who? The Chedushei Harim said, you're going to be my son-in-law, and I have to test you. Because the Gemara says in Masechta Pesachim, Kol Masi Bita La Ma'aretz, if somebody marries off his daughter to a Ma'aretz, Kilakof Shlufnei Ari, you have to, it's like putting her in front of a lion. So I have to make sure that you are a Talmud Chacham. The Rav Chaim said, I should perhaps test you. Because the Gemara there says, Lo'ilam yimka adon kol ma sheyesh lo'i, v'yisa bas Talmud Chacham. A person has an obligation to marry the daughter of a Talmud Chacham, so I have to make sure that you're a Talmud Chacham. So what they did was, says, so at the end, the Chedushei Harim agreed to be tested by the Divrei Chaim. So the Divrei Chaim asked him on our Mishnah. He says, if we look at these last two cases of our Mishnah that we just learned, there's a very big difference between these two cases. In the first case, where people left money, one person left $100 and the other person left $200. In the case of the Kalim, one person left the Kali worth $100 and one person left the Kali worth $1,000. So the Divrei Chaim asked the Chedushei Harim, why in the two cases is there such a difference? Here the difference is only between 100 and 200, and here the difference is between 100 and 1,000. So the Chedushei Harim answered, we're going to learn in tomorrow's shir that Roitz Adam Bekav Shaloi Yoitz Metisha Kabin Shal Chaveri. Everybody likes their own keli. So when it comes to money, money is money. $100, $200, it's all the same. However, when it comes to kelim, even though there's a person who is not honest, he's not going to cheat to get someone else's keli, unless the other keli is really much more expensive than his keli. And that's why the Gemara speaks about, that's why the Mishnah, when it speaks about the difference in the kelim, has to make it a very big difference to make it worthwhile for the person to be dishonest. Ask the Gemara. Alma, from learning our Mishnah, we see, Misfeikim Amitfkinim Amayna. We have a question, who did he steal from? And we say that he has to pay, since we don't know, he has to pay each of these individuals. We don't just say that let the money remain where it is. Ramini asked the Gemara from our very Mishnah. It continued the Mishnah saying, if two people left Picard next to one person, one left $100. And one left $200. Zeh oy mishalim asayim, v'zeh mishalim asayim. Is that locha noisin lezeh mona v'sheh yimun achat shavul yo? So why in the case where he stole from two individuals and we don't know who he stole from, that locha is we give it to both individuals a mona. And here we say that what we don't know yimun achat shavul yo. Answers the Gemara. Amalei pikod na gezel karamis. You're asking a question between Pekodin and Gezel. Gezel, in the situation of Gezel, the Avodi Sura, where a person stole, so therefore Katsur Rabbanan, that he has to return money to every individual who might be his victim. Pekodin, but in the case of Pekodin, where the Shomer didn't do anything wrong, the Lo Avodi Sura, like Katsur Rabbanan. Ask the Tosfos HaRosh. When we learned the Masechta Bava Kamma, we kept on learning the concept that Chazal made takonas hashovim. Chazal made it easy for a ganer, for a gazlan to do tshuva. The best example is that if somebody stole a beam and he put it into his house, Chazal don't require that he demolish his home to give back the beam. He could just give back the value of the beam. So ask the Tosfos HaRosh, why don't we say the same here, that because of takonas hashovim, we shouldn't require that this individual should have to give back to each one of the possible victims? Answers the Tosfos HaRosh. In the case of Takanos HaShovim, all the cases that we learned in Masechta Baba Kama, at the end of the day, the person who was a victim will get back his money. The question is, will he get back his money, or will he just get back the actual item, or will he get back the money? In our case, you want to say takana, that a person who's perhaps a victim shouldn't get back anything? That we don't say. Ask the Gemara, Virami Bikodna Bikodon. But now let's ask a question, Bikodna Bikodon. And then we can ask a question, Gezel or Gezel. The Gemara explains itself. Bikodna Bikodon, the case of Bikodna Bikodon is as follows. The Tani Reisha, we learned at the beginning of our Mishnah. In a situation where I say one of the fathers left by me a mona, I just don't remember. I just don't recall who was that individual. We have to give his mana to each one. Vrimini, why don't we say our Mishnah itself teaches us that Shnaim Shifkidu, we don't have to give, according to the Tanakhama, he doesn't have to give each one $200. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rava. The way to understand the difference is as follows. Reisha, it's nask mishifkidu lo b'shnei krichos. In the Reish, it's referring like a situation where people deposited money with him in two different bundles at different times. The Havlei Lamedik, that the Shomer should have paid attention. The Shomer should have paid attention who left what, and therefore, by not knowing, it becomes his responsibility to give it back to everybody. Sefer. The Sefer is referring to a situation, Nasa Shemif Gidalai B'Krach Echad. The way Rashi explains, the two people came to him at the same time, this one giving $200, this one giving $100, and they obviously trust each other, because they're giving me to watch their money in the presence of each other, without being concerned that this may lead ultimately to one of them cheating the other one. So if they didn't care, I didn't care, as Gemara explains. They both left the money with me at the same time, and therefore I, the Shomer, could say to them, you didn't care to leave the money with me in front of each other. You weren't concerned that by doing that, you'll cheat each other. Anaka Pidna, do I have to be more concerned than you? And therefore, my not knowing who's the one that left the $200 and who's the one that left the $100 is not an issue. It's not my problem, and therefore, I don't have to give $200 to each individual. The Rishonim explain that the Teretz that we gave a moment ago to differentiate between Pekodin and Gezel still stands. And that teretz, because by Gezel, we can't say Havlei Lamedik, because by a Pekodin, a person leaves a Pekodin by me, and he may leave a Pekodin for me with me for a long time. Therefore, I have an obligation to be careful to know who left what. However, by Gezel, since if the person finds out that I stole from him, he's going to claim his money immediately, or other Rishonim explain, I don't expect to have to give back the money that I stole. I stole it to keep it. Therefore, by Gezel, we don't have the concept of Havlei Lamedik, but by Gezel, we have a different pshat, because I did the wrong thing by stealing. It's interesting to note that the Torah says that if a loiva simultaneously receives a loan from two different malvas, and he can't recall which malva gave him the larger loan, he's required to pay each malva the greater amount. Even though by Pekodin, we don't say the same. Explains the Tumim, what's the difference between Pekodin and malva? He says that when one borrows money, he's receiving a toiva, he's receiving a favor from the lender. So it's his obligation to remember specifically which Malva gave him which loan. However, a Shomer, the Shomer is not benefiting here. It's he's doing a favor, and therefore we have less of a claim to him that he should remember who left what with him. But clearly we see from our Gemara that a Shomer, unless it's the situation the Gemara just identified, where the two individuals left the money with him at the exact same time, showing that they don't care, does have the obligation to mark and to know who left what. And in fact, the Rambam says what he should do is, what a Shomer should do is, he should mark on the bags that are left with him, this is this person's and this is that person's. And the Sma and Taz take the opinion of the Rambam one step further. They say not only should a person mark the bags, but what the person should do, say the Sma and Taz, is mark both bags. Because we don't know what's going to happen to one bag, and therefore by marking both bags, we could be sure that the Shomer will return the correct bag to the right person. Ask the Gemara for Rami Gezel or Gezel. But now we have a question between Gezel and Gezel. Tani Hakka, we learned in our Mishnah. Lishnaim, somebody said to two individuals, Guzalti lechem mechem mona. I stole a mona from one of you. However, any day is a mechem. I don't recall from whom. Oi, avish lechem mechem. Hifkali mona. Or one of your fathers left a bekarna of a mana with me. Veni deya ezuhu, I don't recall who. So the Mishnah said, noisen lezem mana, lezem mana. He has to give a mana to each individual. For many, asked the Gemara question, gazel echem mechamisha, the Mishnah says, mesechta yivamis, if somebody stole from one of five individuals. Veni yedeya ez ben gazel, he doesn't know from whom he stole. Zem ayis the gazel. And now, each one of these five individuals comes and says that I am the victim. Zayma, I see Gazel. The Zayma, I see Gazel. The loch is Meneich Gneim Gzeil Beneim Mestalik. He leaves the money between them and he walks away. Divrei Reb Tarfin, Alma, Misfeik Alaim of Kimim Moina. Where there are five individuals who may be the victim, we don't make him give each one of the five individuals money. Because Vaminon, Ukim money b'cheskes mari. We leave the money with the ganef until the true victim could prove that he was the victim. So how come our Mishnah says that he has to pay the money to each individual, not like over there? Answers the Gemara. Or am I the Masnis and Dr. Reb Tarfin? How do we know that our Mishnah follows the opinion of Reb Tarfin? Perhaps our Mishnah follows the opinion of Reb Akiva, who are going to learn on the days holds that he has to give to each one of the five individuals. Answers the Gemara, the Tani Leidehi. Because let's continue learning. There's a Braisa that elaborates on Reb Tarfin's opinion and says, Maidi Reb Tarfin, Ba'im L'Shnaim, where somebody said to two individuals, Guzati Lechem Mechmana, I stole a mana from one of you, Veri Dei Ezebechem, and I don't know from whom I stole, Shnois Mazem Mana Lazem Mana. And they have to give a mana to each person. So as Taisus points out, the Gemara could have really asked the question that Reb Tarfin's opinions seemed to contradict each other. First he says, Meneich mana b'neim u'mestalik. He just puts down the money and walks away. And then the Gemara says that noisen l'zem mana l'zem mana. So that the Gemara could have asked the question that there seems to be a contradiction between the opinions of Reb Tarfin. But says Tosfos, the Gemara preferred to ask a question between Mishnayos, that we know that Mishnayos are more authoritative, and the Gemara asked the question that it seems that these two Mishnayos, the Al Mishnah and the Mishnah Masechta Yevamos, how do we reconcile them? Answers the Gemara, Hasam, in the case of Mishnah Masechta Yevamos, the Katavilei, that the victims are coming to claim that I owe them money. I'm not prepared to pay. They're claiming I owe them money. So if they have these five people arguing, the loch is, until they can really prove who is the individual that I really owe the money to, Meneich Gneim Mestalik. However, I want to go the extra mile, and therefore I want to avoid any problem, and therefore the Mishnah says, Noisen Lezem Mona, Lezem Mona. Tosfos goes on to say that now we have to understand our Mishnah in a totally different way. The ratio of our Mishnah is teaching us that we're both lots of today Shemayim. That means if a person wants to follow the letter of the law, then even in the ratio, he doesn't have to give each one of them a mona. But ba lots of sedei shemayim, noisim lezem mona lezem mona. However, continues Tosfos in saying that even if somebody's ba lots of sedei shemayim in the sefer, where somebody left with me $100 and the other person left with me $200, and as we just explained, according to Rava, they were left. They both left the money with me in front of each other. So I, like Havilei Lemedek, did not have the obligation to check who left what with me. There, even lots of Sudei Shemayim, I don't have to give each one of them Masayim. Says the Gemara, Deikanami, I'll prove to you that the Mishnah here is referring to someone who's bought lots of Sudei Shemayim. The Tani Shayim and Piatzmai. The Mishnah doesn't refer to a situation where I'm being challenged. Rather, I admitted on my own that I owe the money. Shema mina, that's the way to understand the Mishnah, that I'm bought lots of Sudei Shemayim. Amamar, so we explained that the Mishnah Masech to Yevamos refers to a situation, the Katovale, that each one of them is coming to claim that I owe him money. Ask the Gemara V'lo Matoyin, and what is the thief's response? Rabbi Yehuda Merav Alo Shosik. The thief remained silent. Ramasna Merav Halot Tzaveach. The thief says, I don't know who you are. Says the Gemara, Mandom Halot Tzaveach. According to Mandama, that says that it's only because a thief is saying, I don't know who you are. But let's say he would remain silent. We have a concept of shtika kaido. Or Mandama Allah Shaisik. However, the other Mandama says that even if the thief remains quiet, he still doesn't have to pay. Because shtika da hocha lav kaidahi. Because matza amale, because the thief could say, hagish shesikil kalchad v'chad, this that I remain silent, is not because I'm admitting that I owe the money. The mina, the mahayhu. I don't know. And that's why I remain silent. So the Taisus HaRosh qualifies this machlaikis. And he says that everybody agrees that in a situation that the thief says, the reason I didn't respond is because I didn't know what to say. I didn't know who is the victim and who is not. Then everybody will agree that we don't say shtika kaido. The machloikis is simply in a situation where he doesn't say anything. Where one mandama says not saying anything is considered shtika kaida, and the other mandama says not saying anything doesn't prove anything because he could say, hi the shikil kol chad v'chad, that minute bil mahai who I just didn't know what to say. Amamar. So we learned in the case where five people claimed that I stole from them, and I don't know who is that individual. The halach is meniach genzel b'neim mistalik v'shakle kuli v'azli, which seems to imply that they all take the money and divide it amongst themselves. Ask the Gemara, and the Farshim say, why did the Gemara, we're going to quote now a Gemara that we learned earlier. Why does the Gemara have to use that Gemara to ask a question, says the Shita? We could have asked from our very next case of the Mishnah, that when there's a question, we said, Munach at Shiyov Aliyahu. Answers the Shita, that in the case of the Mishnah Masech Yevamos, is where I stole. So I did something wrong. In the case, in the second and third case of our Mishnah, it's referring to a Shomer. He didn't do a Gzela. He didn't do an Aveira. And therefore the Gemara doesn't ask a question between a Gazlan and a Shomer. But the Gemara will ask now a question from another circumstance where we see that somebody did something wrong, and the halach is not Meniach Genev Gezeil B'nei Mestalek. Because the halach is, we learned this in previous parak, that if something was left in Rishus HaRabim, and it's not clear if the person who left it there deliberately or not, daloch is l'chatchila l'yito. The person who finds this item, and as Rashi explains, it's an item that doesn't have a simon on it, so he won't be able to give it back to owner based on simonim, so l'chatchila l'yito. V'mnotol, daloch is if he took it, lo yachser. He shouldn't return it back, give it back to anybody who makes a claim, because he doesn't have a simon. So what do we see from here? That wherever we have a question, wherever, even though somebody did something wrong, I picked up an item that I should not have picked up. L'chatchila lo yitoil. Still, since I don't know who to give it back to, the halacha is lo yachzir. I should hold on to it. So why over there, where somebody stole, he obviously did a terrible aveira, but why does he give it back to them? Answers the Gemara, you know what v'yaniach means? Amar Safra, v'yaniach doesn't mean that he should leave it with them. He should leave it with Bezdin, and Bezdin will hold on to it. And the way the Mefarshim explains is as follows. By a Shomer, we say, he didn't do anything wrong, the second and third case of our Mishnah. So therefore, when the halach is that the item should be held on to until we clarify who truly is the owner, the Shomer who didn't do any Aveira, he's the one that should remain the Shomer, the Yimunach, it should remain with him, at Shiyova Eliyahu. However, in this case, the person was a Gazlan, or the person picked up an Aveda that he shouldn't have. And since that's the case, the Yaniach, it should be left. We don't give it to all of the individuals, but we should be left by Bezdin. Although I did see an interesting Chassam Sofer who says that in the case of the Shomer that picked up of the Sofer Kinuach, he brings it to Bezdin, and then Bezdin appoints him to be their agent to hold on to it until the real owner appears. Amay Abay LaRava, Mi Amar Rabbi Kiva. Did Rabbi Kiva say Loi Zu Derech Metzias Somedei Aveira? That we looked, the Tarfon said, there were five people claimed that I stole from them. The halacha, as we just said, is Maniach, Gzeil B'nei Mistalik. The Rabbi Kiva said, Loi Zeh Derech Metzias Somedei Aveira. That's not the way that I get out of doing, having done an Aveira. Some Rishonim say that Rabbi Kiva wasn't, the words of Aveira are somewhat not accurate, because they say the Rekiva says Alocha even when I didn't do an Aveira. In the case of a Mekach, where five people claimed that they bought something from me and I don't remember who the real customer was, again, I didn't do an Aveira, and it's still the same din will be, and therefore they claim that the word Aveira is inaccurate. Rather, Rekiva says Achi Sham Zela Kol Chad V'chad. So we see obviously Rabbi Kiva's opinion is Alma Mesfekim Amikfkinim Amoina. Well, we have a suffix, we have to pay. Ask the Gemara Mini, the Mishnah says, Masechta Basra, Nafal Bais Olav Alimai. There's a woman who's not married, and she was in a house together with her son, and the house collapsed, killing both of them. But the question is, who died first? Yosha ben Imrim, the Yoshim of the son, who obviously are not the same individuals, who are the Yoshim of the mother, say, the mother died first, then the son became her Yairish, and now that he died, we get his estate. The son died first, and we who are the Yarshim of the mother get her estate. Both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree that the Yarshim and the Yarshim HaBen should divide. Vamar Abakiva, Maida Nibazu, I agree in this situation that the properties retain their status, which means as follows. Although we have in many, there are other cases in the Mishnayis there, Masechta Basra, of similar situations, and the Machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel what to do. Beis Shammai say in other cases Yachloiku, and Beis Hillel say Nechasim Becheskosim. Here says Rabbi Kiva Maidani that here we should say Nechasim Becheskosim. Rashi says, what does Rabbi Kiva mean by saying Maidani Bezu? That even though Rabbi Kiva was a Talmud of Beis Shammai, here he says I agree to Beis Hillel's opinion. Others find that very difficult to say that Rabbi Kiva was a Talmud of Beis Shammai, and they therefore explain Maidani Bezu means that in this specific case, in these specific machloikis, that I agree with the opinion of Beis Shammai, but in this case I agree, like Beis Hillel would say, and Beis Shammai will agree, Hanchasim Beskasim, but not that Rabbi Kiva always follows Beis Shammai's opinion. Tosfos has a different opinion. Tosfos says that since the Mishnah there uses the words Maidim Shiachlaiku, that's why Rekiva also uses the similar word Maidani Bezu, but not to say that Rekiva meant in any way to say that he's a Talmud Beis Shammai. So what do we see? than the chasim b'ches kasim. So why here don't we say the same? Answers the Gemara, Amalei, Hasam, in that case, Shem v'shama. It's not sure who died first. And since it's not sure who died first, b'chasim v'ches kasim. And the machlokes there in the Gemara Masechet Basra, what does that mean? B'cheskes ha'em or b'cheskes ha'ben. However, in the case of Gozel Echem and Chamisha, it's a Bari v'shema. All of these people are saying, for sure you stole from me. And I say, I don't know. That's why Rekiva will say, the Gadif has to pay each one of these individuals. Ask the Gemara, let's review our Mishnah, where we learned, Gazati Lechem Chamana. Somebody says to two people, I stole from one of you a mana. Where it's a situation of Shema v'shema. They don't know, and I don't know. And still we learned the Tani Naisin Lazemana, Lazemana. Ask the Gemara, or Maida Bekivihi, who says that our Mishnah follows, and we don't say Nechasim Beches Gosom. Ask the Gemara, Maida Bekivihi, who says that our Mishnah follows the opinion of Bekiva? The Tani Allah Dehi, because we learned in the Braisa that we quoted earlier, the Machlok Shabbatayah from Bekiva, Maida of Tarfin, the Tarfin agrees. If somebody says to two individuals, Gazati lechem lechem mona, I stole from one of you a mona. I just don't know who. That he has to give a mona to each one of them. Laman Maida, who's Rav Tarfon addressing? He's addressing Lavla Rekiva Bar Palukte. So Sir Rekiva does agree, Noisin lezem mona, lezem mona. So how do we reconcile Rekiva's opinion? Ask the Gemara, Mai. Maybe we'll say that our Mishnah is not referring to a situation of Shema Shema. It's referring to a situation of Bari Veshema. And where does Rabbi Kiva say Nechasim B'ches Kosam? Only by Shema Veshema, and our Mishnah is not a Bari Shema Veshema. Says the Gemara, our Mishnah is certainly a Shema Veshema. Chada, because as we pointed out, like a Tani Tovin Ezoi, our Mishnah doesn't say that they claim that I stole from them. I came and told them. So they're not Bari in any way that I stole from them. Furthermore, Hatan Reb Chia said in a brisa of explaining our Mishnah, Zeremoni Yedeya, Zeremoni Yedeya. So the Ganim says, I don't know who I stole from. And the victims say, we don't know if you're the individual who stole from us. So it's a Sheva V'Shema. And yet we see, Reb Chia, the Mishnah says, that he has to pay. I, Reb Chia, said by Sheva V'Shema, you don't have to pay. And to the Gemara, Kimlo, we already explained that our Mishnah is not telling us what the halacha requires. Our Mishnah is only referring to a situation of Ba Lotzeis Yedei Shemayim. Amlei Ravina Laravashi. Omi Amirava. Did Ravin say the Kol B'Shtei Kriches, that whenever was something given in two different bundles at different times, Havlei Lamedik, the Shomer should have paid attention who left what? Vamarava Vitei Rapapa, Hakam Moedim, everybody agrees. If two people left animals with a shepherd, one person left two lambs, while the other person left only one lamb, and now they come to collect their animals, each person claims that he's the one that left the two lambs. The halach is roy b'neimu mistalik. I there, the royer should have paid attention who's leaving two animals with me and who's leaving one animal with me. Amalei, so he responded, Hossam, that case is referring to a situation, they left it with the Roya, not knowing without the Roya being there. And therefore, there is no claim to the Roya of Havalei Lamedic. We learned the last case of the Mishnah was two Kalim, Echad Yafa Manav, Echad Yafa Elazos. Ask the Gemara, why do we have to have the same case, the same example twice? If we only learned the first case, but he come Rabbanan, there the Rabbanan say that we give each person the amount that they agree to. Especially we follow in the second case, especially we follow Rashi's explanation. Where we explain according to Rashi, you have to break the bigger keli. So maybe don't do anything, leave everything status quo. And even according to the Rishonim that we don't break the bigger keli, still selling a keli diminishes it, the value. Because we don't want to break kelim. In the first case, maybe that each person should get the $100 and the third 100 is what should be left alone. That's why we need both cases. Ask the Gemara, but that's not the reason for Rabbi Yossi. For time to Rabbi Yossi clearly told us, we're worried about, because we want a Hefsad Aramayu. We want to make that the liar shouldn't benefit. So that explanation follows, doesn't make a difference if it's Kalim or money. So the Gemara, the way to understand the Mishnah is Tavail or Abon Yitzruch. The way to understand the Mishnah is that both cases are coming to teach us and explain the opinion of the Rabbanan, and the Mishnah is to be understood and Eloizu Avzu Ketani. Yes, once we have the second case, it's obvious that the Rabbanan will hold that din by the case of money. If they hold that din by the case of the Kalim, they certainly hold that way by the case of the Mana. Just first, as we had many times in Shas, first Chazal taught us the easier din, the case by the Mana, and then they taught us the bigger chiddush, even by the Kalim, and they left both cases loizu afsu ktani.